I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and bring in, after Bleacher Report, Greg Schwartz. What's going on, Greg?
Hey, thanks for having me on this morning.
Hey, man. No, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on with me a little short notice, but always glad to have you. Definitely thought about you specifically when the Drummond deal went down. Because, you know, I talked to you a few days ago or maybe a couple of weeks ago now, and I just talked about how difficult it was to actually watch the Cavaliers. It was just difficult to watch the Cavs. It was just difficult. I mean, you didn't really see much they had to offer. I didn't really know what was going on as far as the two-guard situation. Jetty Osman looked like he was just a guy, which we figured out he is just a guy. Kevin Love wanted to roll out. Tristan Thompson wanted to roll out. And this is the last thing I thought that the Cavs would be up for, is bringing in and being any sort of player in free agency. How surprised were you to see this move when you finally realized that it was going down with Drummond?
Yeah, I was completely surprised by it. I mean, Andre Drummond was a guy whose name was in trade talks. The Atlanta Hawks were mentioned as a possibility for him. The Detroit Pistons won him back, a first-round pick owned by the Brooklyn Nets, which would have been around the 15th or 16th pick in the draft, and the Hawks said no to that deal. And I think ever since they kind of turned them down, the asking price for Drummond kind of went down and down and down and down. What that deal signifies to me is that the Pistons were fairly confident that Drummond was going to pick up his player option for about $28.8 million. If they thought he was going to opt out, he was going to be a free agent, that's what they wanted. They didn't want to commit big money to him long term. So the fact that they traded him to the Cavs for essentially expiring money in a 2023 second round pick, I mean, that just tells me that they just didn't want to pay him anymore. And he's obviously a good player. He's a two-time All-Star. But, you know, the fact that the Cavs were able to get him for, you know, I don't want to say nothing, but essentially, you know, expiring money for guys who weren't key rotation pieces, that did surprise me. And the second part of it I thought was, okay, if we're getting Andre Drummond, where are we trading Tristan Thompson to? Because this isn't going to make any sense to keep Tristan on the team where, you know, number one, he's probably upset if he doesn't get traded. And number two, we're going to not only not trade him, but we're going to send him to the bench when he's having a career year. He's looking for a new contract. He's still in the prime of his career. I thought there has to be a trade for Thompson that's going to go out because he's not going to be happy, you know, as a backup. And then it doesn't make sense to release him and help somebody else as well. So, of course, there was no trade for Tristan Thompson or Kevin Love. So I think it's going to be kind of an awkward pairing. Tristan said all the right things yesterday. He said he was happy. He said, you know, Drummond was going to help the team. But, man, you got to think inside. He's probably a little ticked off right now.
When it comes to Tristan Thompson and his deal, do you believe that Tristan Thompson still sees himself, or he sees himself as a starter in this league, or depending on what team he's on?
Oh, he definitely sees himself as a starter. I mean, for years he kind of bounced around. He came in the league as a power forward when the league was a little bit bigger, you know, kind of moved to center then. He came off the bench when the Cavs got Timofey Mozgov. And then they went big, you know, think of the 2015 finals, they went big and started him at power forward, Mozgov at center. And, you know, for the Cavs, I mean, Tristan, when he can point to his resume, he can say, I was the starting center on a championship team. You know, I'm averaging a double-double. Like, I'm a starting center in this league. Like, I'm not a backup, and I need to be paid as a starting center. Now, I don't think he's going to get another five-year, $80 million contract like he did last time. But he still expects to be paid because, you know, at 28 years old, this is probably his last chance to cash in on a four-year deal, you know, in excess of $10 million per year. This is probably it for him. So the fact that now his numbers are going to go down, his minutes are going to go down, his production is going to go down inevitably just because he's going to go to the bench, I think he does see himself as a starter. And He's smart enough to say the right things, but there's no way he's happy with this move.
Talking to Greg Schwartz of the Bleacher Report on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, talking about the Andre Drummond trade at the trade deadline with the Cleveland Cavaliers. When you look at this deal from a standpoint of what this does, does this move make the Cavs just more watchable, or does it actually make them a better team?
I would say both. Definitely more watchable. I mean, if the Cavs would have stood pat at the trade deadline and done absolutely nothing, I think, man, that would have been a miserable last 30 games of the year, just from a fan standpoint and a locker room standpoint. You know, at least if you get a guy like Drummond there, you know, it provides some excitement, I guess, for the young guys, for Colin, for Darius, for Jetty, for Kevin Porter Jr. At least, you know, now we've got this guy, 6'11", 270 pounds. He can roll to the rim. He's going to gobble up every rebound. He's just this massive force when he comes out and sets screens for us. You know, he's somebody that can help the young guards as well. And Tristan does a lot of those things, but Drummond just does it at a higher level. And he definitely has more size than Tristan has. You know, like Tristan, he can't shoot from outside the paint. I think he's 1-for-21 or 1-for-24 on three-pointers this year. So he's obviously not somebody that you want shooting threes. But he's fairly athletic. And I think, you know, if you look at just the raw numbers and you say, well, he doesn't shoot and he doesn't do this, he can take the ball coast to coast. It's not something you want him to see do every possession, but he's got enough athleticism in him that if he grabs a rebound, he can take it all the way down the floor and he can finish. And, you know, Tristan's obviously not a guy that can do that. Kevin's not really a guy that can do that. So he does provide a different element in that sense. You know, is it going to make a big difference in the Cavs' win-loss record this year? No, it's not. It might make the difference between them being the worst team in the league and the second worst team in the league. But, you know, for the price they had to give up, it was kind of like a no-brainer. Like, why not? We'll see how this works. If he picks up his player option, that's fine because there's no good free agents we were going to sign anyways. And, you know, if he doesn't and he wants to work out a longer-term deal, maybe we could, you know, agree on something that's not $28 million a year, but still where he gets paid, and now we have our center for the future.
When you look at this, I look at the whole Kevin Love situation. I think Kevin will probably, you know, still get traded at some point. But am I tripping to think that, you know, maybe this helps and frees up Kevin Love? Does it give him opportunity to do some of the things he's more comfortable with at this point in his career? Maybe he doesn't want to play centers, and maybe he wants to just be strictly a stretch four and do some of those things out there on the perimeter, still being able to, you know, if another team goes small, he's able to post up on those guys. Does this help Kevin Love's ability to score and accentuate the good things that he does?
Oh, yeah, Kevin Love should never have to guard centers ever again. I mean, he should be very happy about that. From, you know, a couple years ago in 2018 when he was the team's starting center and they were rolling out Jay Crowder and LeBron in the front court. And I don't think Kevin was too happy about that. Offensively, it made a lot of sense. Defensively, you know, when this year you saw the real heights of players come out, and Kevin all of a sudden went from 6'10" to 6'8", yeah. 215 pounds.
Yeah.
not a frame that should be guarding opposing centers. You look at a guy like Drummond, like he's got legit size and he's got legit mass around him. So if you've got Andre Drummond and you've got Tristan Thompson, you can be assured Kevin Love's never going to have to guard centers again, which he should be very happy with. The other part of that, Drummond's a very good passer. And I think that's a little bit underrated. He's averaging over 3 assists a game this year. He's a guy that, you know, if he gets the ball in the paint and he's backing down, he's not just going to have that tunnel vision. He can look out for shooters, so he can find a Kevin Love who's out on the perimeter. You know, Kevin Love's become a very good three-point shooter. He's at 38% this year. You know, he's capable of knocking down 40%. And I think that kind of opens him up because a lot of teams, as they go smaller, you know, they won't be able to send just one guy at Drummond in the paint on some nights. So they might have to add some extra attention. So that's going to open up your three-point shooters. So I think for Kevin, defensively, that makes a big difference for him. Offensively, I think he's going to get even more looks from the perimeter. And I think you're going to see kind of that high-low passing game between him and Drummond. And hopefully that kind of opens up the offense as well.
talking to John, or excuse me, talking to Greg Schwartz on the North Olmsted at Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. When you look at, I was sitting there going to the Jordan Clarkson. I was going to ask that question. I was like, am I messed up for thinking, man, this would have been a pretty interesting team if you kind of have Jordan Clarkson on his team. He got kind of moved earlier to Denver, or not Denver, but Utah. Am I tripping for thinking like, man, I wish I had Jordan Clarkson back a little bit. Like when you look at maybe having Drummond and some of the functional pieces of just a veteran ball club, or in Jordan Clarkson at the time was giving you, you know, some of those spurts of 20 plus points off the bench. Am I tripping for that?
I mean, you would have been better in the short term, but what's the end play here? You know, do you really want to compete for the eighth seed in the East, like Orlando's going to be, and then you're going to get throttled by Milwaukee? Or, you know, do you want to do the long-term play here, which I think is a smart thing? You know, look at Colin Sexton's production and stats ever since they traded Jordan Clarkson. Look at the role that, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. is able to play now because all those minutes opened up off the bench. So for me, you know, would the Cavs be better today if they still had Clarkson? Yeah, they probably would be. But, you know, what's more important, especially with Clarkson going into free agency this summer? Were they going to re-sign him? No. I why would he want to come back, you know, to Cleveland when he could go join a contender and go back to the playoffs like he's going to be in Utah this year? And, you know, for the Cavs, we want to accentuate the rebuild process and accelerate it as fast as possible. And we do that by, you know, giving Jordan Clarkson shots and his ball handling opportunities. We do that by giving it to Colin and Darius and Kevin Porter. So I think they made the right move by trading Clarkson.
Speaking of Kevin Porter Jr., how can we get him some more minutes? Where how can we assimilate Jetty Osman's minutes and just give them to Kevin Porter Jr.? How can we get him on the court more?
Yeah, I predicted before the season started that by the end of the year, he would be in the Cavs starting lineup. I really did. I thought he was that good. I don't know if, you know, Beeline's ready to make a switch and bench Jetty, especially his on-off numbers are pretty good. The team typically performs better with him on. He's been a 40% three-point shooter. So, you know, long-term, I think Jetty's, you know, a seventh or eighth man on a really good team. And, you know, we don't know what the ceiling is for Kevin Porter. I also think that he's more of a shooting guard. He's not really a small forward. When I asked him, he told me he considers himself a combo guard with his passing ability too. Yeah, you definitely want more size. And, you know, long-term, you got to think, how is this all going to work out with Kevin, who, you know, looks like one day, and maybe one day soon, could be a starting shooting guard in this league. But you've also got Colin, who's almost at, you know, 20 points per game and has really improved his efficiency as of late. And then you've got Darius, who is your number five overall pick in the draft, has all the shooting mechanics to be an elite shooter in this league and has really grown as a playmaker as well. So how do you find time really for all those three guys? Do you start them all three together? Do you bring, you know, Kevin off the bench or Colin off the bench? I think you got to stick with Darius Garland as your starting point guard. But at the very least, you got to find minutes for all three guys. You don't have Brandon Knight in your backcourt anymore. You don't have Jordan Clarkson in your backcourt anymore. You know, Matthew Dellavedova, you don't have to worry about getting him any more than 10 or 15 minutes a night. So I think over the last 30 games, the development of those young guards and kind of how they interact with Andre Drummond, that's going to be, you know, at least watchable. It might not lead to a lot of wins, but I think that's at least something for Cavs fans to tune in to and watch.
All right, Greg, we'll check in with you later this season and during the season to see how we're turning up with the Cavs, man.
All right, thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it, man. Greg Schwartz of the Bleacher Report on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.